The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to the Two Man Game Podcast with UNC head basketball coach Steve Smiley. I am Brady Hull. Coach, two in a row, my friend.
Brady,
you can't win the rest of them unless you win the first two in a row.
That's right. And you can't win two, can't win one. And now we are excited for the old fight song. We have some technical difficulties, but I tell you what, man, even no fight song feels good to be, you know, chatting after a couple wins, right? And back in that winning column and starting to kind of, you know, in theory, move in the right direction here a little bit.
Well, I figured if we play the fight song, we just don't want you to get too cocky, you know?
We don't want you to get too
carried away or anything,
yep.
But that was the plan anyway. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
I'm not a tech-savvy guy, Coach. I mean, I know how to press record and turn the microphones up, and that's about it.
I'm getting that way, too. I'm rapidly approaching my 45th birthday, and I feel like the technology stuff started to fall apart a little bit for me in terms of like, man, I'm behind. I used to be kind of on the cutting edge. Not so much anymore.
Well, you kind of need to be with your editing, your video editing and all that stuff. And I know you're not doing that exactly, but you're kind of doing some of that stuff.
Still good with the chopping of the films. I still feel like we're pretty good in that world. You know, like AI, like,
oh, man.
I need to start really diving into learning, you know, how to utilize that. We had a head coach meeting. I couldn't make it, so I think I sent Coach Dorian Green to that one, and one of the topics was, you know, how to utilize AI. He's like, it's pretty fascinating, you know, because we don't do a ton of that right now, but I do think some things are trending that way. And even like in the socials, you know, a lot of pressure from the staff for me to get onto the Instagram world.
Yeah,
I stopped at X.
I have it, but
yeah, I stopped at X, and that was it for me. And I don't want to add more confusion and complexity to my life. Is kind of the reason why, but. You know, a lot of the growth, it seems like, is in that world too. So maybe, you know, these are off season projects. These are not for right now. But.
I just don't understand it because it's like, okay, X, you know, okay, that's more about posts and stuff, but you could put videos on there too.
Yep.
So why is Instagram different? I guess that my brain just doesn't understand.
Even watch my kids, it's Instagram and it's, I mean, a little bit of TikTok and it's Snapchat in terms of their communication stuff, but like, it's not X. It's certainly not Facebook, which I'm still on. I still enjoy it. I think a lot of people, you know, of my age and older are on Facebook. So I think it's a great way to promote our program. So we still do all that stuff. But yeah, like I am falling behind a little bit in the tech world for sure.
I need to – my wife always says it. She's like – because I'll post my videos and stuff to Instagram. But she tells me, she's like, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, but it's still – it's still up there. It's a
there
video and stuff. But she's like, yeah, but the algorithms, all this, it's not going to recognize it. And, you know, we're just going to keep going.
We're just going to keep trying. Keep learning. Yep.
Well, and you guys have kept going for sure. I thought that Idaho game, Idaho's a good basketball team.
They're really good.
And I thought that was a really good game. That was a lot of fun back and forth. You guys did enough, though, especially it was good to see there down, not even down the stretch, but you started to kind of pull away.
Yeah.
And you kept that lead hovered around that 6-8 mark.
That's right.
Which was really, really important. Mentally, just seeing the hang-on factor there. What does that do to this team?
Yeah, I mean, the Idaho game was the first game of the week. And it, like you said, you know, they're really good. I mean, they're a team that I'm sure I picked like, you know, top two, top three. And I think the thing about Idaho, they remind me a lot about ourselves last year, where the seven guys they really play – they're all explosive offensive players, all of them. And, you know, you look at it, and they all present different challenges, you know, whether it's Mitchell, Biko Johnson, Brickner off the bench. Brickner off the bench is like Marcel McCreary off the bench for us last year. Job is a tough pick-pop five.
Yeah.
Roberry's a monster.
Mm.
Jackson Rasmussen, I think he'll be the freshman year in the league, I assume, now that we've been through every team. And there could be some arguments there, but I think he's going to be the freshman year in the league. Really good player. And then, you know, Jack Payne, who was preseason All Big Sky, he's like their fifth, sixth leading scorer now.
He's an aggressive player.
Yeah. And so, like, they're really good. And I thought we toe-to-toed with them. And you know, it was back and forth in, you know, first half, 1 point game at halftime. And then you're right, to kind of get up about 8 to 10 with about 10 minutes to go. And we've had the situation. We were up 7 against Weber State. You know, we were up 10 against Portland State. You know, and so we've had the situation. We were up 18 at Sac State.
Yeah.
And couldn't hold on. And we held on just fine in this game. And we're making some schematic tweaks a little bit, which I think really, really helped us out in both games this weekend. And I think that, you know, it showed, especially in the Thursday game, that we didn't wear ourselves out. And I think it's important. And now you look at it, it's like, you know, as we get into the Saturday game, I thought we played really well in a lot of ways against Eastern Washington. We just couldn't make a shot.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But I'm also looking at that, you know, talking to the staff. We talked to the guys yesterday, too. Like, okay, now that we have all this data, you know, 3 or 4 of these Thursday-Saturday stretches, we've been pretty dang good on the Thursdays. Lost at Montana State, but we were right there. You know, really crushed Idaho State, right? Idaho, boom, beat them. Portland State was the Thursday game of that stretch on the road. Missed a shot to beat the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And we had them down the whole game. Now, here's the next question. Saturdays. It's not like we're different in effort. It's this or that. But on Saturdays, at Montana, down 30-10 like that, right? Sacramento State couldn't close it out, just died, right? You know, with that epic collapse. Idaho State, we beat on Thursday. And then Weber, really just a step behind, slow this, that. And then again against Eastern Washington, I thought we played well, but we couldn't make a shot. So as a coach, I'm looking and said, okay, I feel like we're finding, you know, the way that we're structuring things calendar-wise and preparation-wise and this and that, because that's part of the secret this time of year too. I feel like we're solving it to be really good on Thursdays. But I don't think we're playing very good on Saturdays. Are we doing too much? Are we, you know what I mean? Mm. Like between that window's tight. Friday practice, you know, and then Saturday, especially when we play like late Thursday, we played 7 o'clock against Idaho. That's brutal.
Yeah.
Then 2 o'clock Saturday. That's less than 48 hours later. Did we, you know, did we prepare too much with just banging on the court legs wise Saturday morning? Maybe. So we're looking at that. How do we find a way to not change what we're doing for Thursdays, but same thing on this road trip coming up, Weber State, 7 p.m. game, and then Saturday, 4 p.m. game at Idaho State. How do we be intentional to make sure that we are peaking on Saturday? Everyone's tired. Like, there's no way around that.
Yeah.
But how do you find a way so that your guys, you know, whether it's shooting, you know, Zach getting great looks, not knocking him down, maybe he's tired. We're asking him to do just a ton on both ends of the floor. Ibu, 6 wide open threes, right? Struggling, right? And so on and so forth. How do, you know, Quinn, 35 on Thursday night, and he didn't have as many shots against Eastern Washington, but how do we find a way to peak both Thursday and Saturday? That's our next challenge as we try to, like, this thing is like an onion, man. Like, you know, and I told the guys yesterday, just because this is how we did it last year, well, this is how we do it here. That doesn't mean this year's team, this is the right formula, right? Like, we got to be smart about how do we get these guys in the right physical and mental position to, because they're going to go, they're going to play hard, they're going to prepare hard. The problem is when you put these guys on the court, they go say so dang hard that maybe we're, you know, they're hurting themselves as we get into these Saturday games. So I digress, but it's something we're really trying to figure out so we can play better on the second game.
Yeah, and I want to get into that more. That's, to me, that's pretty fascinating because it's a pretty consistent schedule, but it's a tight, consistent schedule. You got a quick change there.
It's hard.
But you mentioned, you know, to start the podcast talking about the Idaho game specifically.
Yeah.
You making a couple of schematic changes. How much of a fine line is that? Because let's face it, almost every game you've been in or played in the Big Sky has come down to the wire.
Yeah.
So when you make those changes, you're obviously doing a lot of things right to be in every single game against good teams like Portland State, but then just a slight tweak. Maybe it's not necessarily an end of the game tweak, but it's something you're doing, you know, to start the second half or the middle of the second half. What are some of those tweaks that you're doing?
Yeah, really not much offensively. Okay. You know, offensively, we talk about it's just, you know, the key word for us offensively is embrace. Embrace the coverage. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to one of my good friends is Danny Sprinkle, who's that coach at Washington, but he was in the league. And we were just reminiscing and talking about, like, you know, travel and this and that. And he was talking about him. He's like, one thing people don't understand is, like, how good the Big Sky is. And two, he's like, he goes, what I really enjoyed in the Big Sky, but what I hated about it is everyone plays so different. And so you got to coach in the Big Sky. Like, you know, you got to – this game, they're going to hard hedge the ball screens and one-on-one in the post. This game, they're going to switch everything on and off the ball. And he's right that the preparation, like, you got to, like, offensively, our offense, it's so much about scouting. Okay, what are they going to do? And then, again, pulling out, you know, in your kind of bag of tricks, what your guys have worked on all the way back to the summertime. So schematically, not changing much offensively, okay? We know we want to play fast in transition. We know we want to try to find a way to put two on the ball. We know we want to go inside mainly to Brock and Quinn at this point in time. We know that if they double the post, this is our attack out of the post. That's like Eastern. They double the post 40 times. And we got the most insanely open looks, and we just couldn't knock them down. And that's where I look at it. Like, me, are we just dead? Like, legs. I mean, the scheme's right. So it's not so much offensively, but the changing some schematics defensively, we have two or three ways we can and we call it dictate the terms. So offense is embrace, defense is dictate. We are going to dictate the terms. But defensively, we have built a ball screen coverage. A lot of it is around to kind of protect, you know, guys attacking mainly Brock in ball screen coverage. He's not like 6'11 with a 7'4 wingspan, rim protect. That's not what he is. So how do we built it, you know, literally 3 years ago based off, okay, can we kill the ball screen at the point of the ball screen so it's not going downhill on us? And that's where our hard hedging. And we stole it from, you know, a German professional team, Telekom Bonn. And they put some really unique sauce on it in terms of how they did it. Because I don't like hard hedging and putting two on the ball way away from the rim. Short rolls are a real thing. Hit the short roll, now it's a 4-on-3 attack. But the way that Bond did it is, and we call it Bond, you know, we just steal from guys and give them credit in that way, but just trying to find with our guard a way to go over and then under and protect the short roll, okay? So you can't just get two on the ball and, you know, throw it to the big. Protect that, and then we have some pretty, you know, somewhat exquisite coverages on the backside of it, you know, with the three guys that are not involved in the ball screen. Love it. Loved it when we – you know, implemented it 2 years ago, and then we tested it on Jaren Riley, and he's like the ultimate ball screen guy, and he hated going against it. We're like, okay, if Jaren doesn't like this, this means it's probably pretty good, you know, because he was having a tough time attacking us. We're like, yeah, we're going to – and it helped us win, you know, 44 games in 2 years, right? And it's really grown. However, the downside is it's aggressive, and maybe we're wearing our bigs out. Maybe all this rotational stuff on the backside with Xing out and this and that, maybe we're putting ourselves into too many closeouts. And again, schematically, are we wearing ourselves out? And with this team, with this current team. So we this last weekend, we went to a little bit more of a basic coverage. And we thought it went really well. And, you know, the only way that works, though, because again, the issue of guys getting downhill against Brock and those guys is that if our off-ball guys, we had to change some personnel where it's like, okay, in the gaps – you know, a guy's a driver, player, sniper. Well, most teams don't have a lot of drivers out there, but if you do, it's a road jam. You call it a no split. But now looking at, okay, players and snipers, can we call more guys players and being a little bit more aggressive in the gap? So if you're off the ball and being a little bit more aggressive, trying to, you know, rake the ball and attack the ball a little bit, knowing we might give up a few more of those threes and rotations. Mm-hmm. And are we okay with that? And that's kind of the world we lived in last week. I said, okay, we're going to be okay with that. We're going to call more guys players, less guys snipers, be a little bit more aggressive. Because then, based off of what we call guys, how are guys defending the gaps?
Yeah.
So it all kind of goes together. But it's like, all right, we're gonna check down to this ball screen coverage. We think this will help out, you know, reduce some confusion. And we were starting to make some mistakes too off the ball. Not even necessarily in the ball screen, but the three guys off the ball were just screwing some things up. Our scout mistakes were going through the roof. Let's make this a little bit more simple. And to our team's credit, they did a great job with activity. Scout mistakes reduced. We only had 5 scout mistakes against Idaho, which is a season low. We had 13 the game before. Again, we're losing games at the buzzer with 13 scout mistakes. When you drop it down to 5, that is literally the difference in winning and losing. And then we had 8 against Eastern Washington, which is still perfectly acceptable. We want 10 or fewer minimum. So we're living in the world now that we want to live in that scout mistake world, in that detail world. So – yeah, it's just, I feel like this team's the onion, man. Like, you know, solve one thing, gotta, okay, now I gotta, you know, peel this layer off. Okay, oh, this is an issue. Got to peel this layer. Okay, and that's okay. And really what we're trying to do is find a way to really start playing well down the stretch. And our winning-losing formula, it hit really well both games last week. And it hit better against Eastern Washington than it did against Idaho. So, again, don't be fooled with the scoreboard. We could have lost that game easily. But we feel like we're peeling these layers of the onion back and solving things. And the guys are doing a great job being present, being part of that process and saying, hey, when we were 1-6 or 1-7, say 6-5. Let's get back to a winning program, 6-5 down the stretch. That'll probably push us close to that 6 seed.
Yeah.
And again, there's still a lot of work to do. There's 8 games left. We're 2-1 in that stretch. This is a critical weekend to go attack this road. We got great opportunities. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, we're getting down to it. 8 games remaining. But listening to you just kind of lay it out defensively, is that a mental thing with your players too? When you're labeling snipers and you're labeling just player, because if you say sniper, then I would imagine defensively throughout that game, throughout the whole week preparing for that game, that's what they're thinking. I cannot leave that. I can't give that guy an inch.
And what happens is it should always look the same in the gaps. So when you're one pass away in the gap, when the guy's driving at you, if you got a sniper, and like in practice, it's crazy. Like anyone that's a sniper, we put a red jersey over their scout jersey.
Mm.
We color code it. We bleed red. So it's like, now, there might be 2 red jerseys out there. There might be 1, might be 3. Who knows? Play Idaho State, there's going to be like 4 of them, right? But all we can practice, you see those red jerseys. If those guys get threes, and we gave up 6 sniper threes against Eastern Washington. That was the one failure. But it wasn't necessarily a scout. One was on a big offensive rebound they had late in the game when they got the lead. At least 2, I think 3 were in transition. And that's the thing, like transition is so critical. To get back, get set up, figure out who's who, right? And only, I think, 1 was on like a play, but like when snipers snipe, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so, we build that in all week. So the gap support should look the same, but as guys drive at you, that's where things start to change. So, it really helped out last week. We'll see, what the plan is this week. Weaver State, they changed their starting lineup last night at Sacramento State, which was surprising, but they have 2 of their 3 bigs are kind of driver. They don't look to shoot all their 4s and 5s. 1 does, but 2 of them don't at all. So can you build up more coverage based off of that?
That's really interesting to hear that. You talked about earlier too, the Thursday games have been pretty positive.
Pretty good.
Saturday's kind of interesting. Is that a thing where throughout the week it's a easing in more to the Thursday game, knowing, hey, we're not busting it leading into the Thursday game? Or what is that?
It's such a fine line.
Because you don't have much time in between the Thursday and Saturday game to tweak.
Yeah, like we feel like we're hitting it right on Thursdays. I don't want to modify much of the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, Mondays are very light. We've even got a point last year where Mondays were basically just stretching it off. And I was telling our staff, we talked about it yesterday in our trainer too. It's like we're not good enough to just shut it down Mondays. Not that it's like, but we have on Mondays, it's just skill install situations. Go for like 45 minutes. But those 45 minutes still pound on you a little bit. But it's like we're not where we need to be situationally. We're not where we need to be execution-wise, installation-wise. So we got to stay the course. But tightening things down a little bit, but still Thursday we feel good about. Now how do we solve it from Thursday to Saturday? Mm. And the thing I really think about is the Saturday AM practice. Is that smart to do? Like now, part of it too is these guys like to, especially on the road, they like to be in the gym to get used to the gym. They have routines too, so you can't just blow up routines. But finding how do you maximize all this stuff? Okay, schematically, reducing rotations and this and that helps. The emergence of Arik. Now we're playing 8 guys as opposed to 7. That helps, right? It all helps because it's really the guys that get the most tired of the 3 seniors, Danker, Block, Wisney, and Ring. Ring is playing so many minutes, right? And he's playing awesome. But, man, these guys are tired. So how do we find a way to maximize the team, as it gets to that Saturday when we need those last 8 minutes on Saturday? How do we get them?
How intense is a typical Saturday morning practice?
Extremely light.
Okay, so
extremely nothing live, nothing braced or padded, but it's the wear and tear. There are some studies that say, hey, your ligaments don't repair fully. Like if you're like a guy who comes in the morning, gets a workout in, comes back, lifts practice, like that's what college guys do in pros, right? But there's some studies out there to say that it's a minimum of 6 hours of recovery for your ligaments. well, is that when you do a full workout? Like that's where, you know, you got to figure it out. But it's like, okay, when we play on the road at 7 o'clock at night, we still usually practice at like 10 a.m. All right, get in at 10 a.m. On the day of a game. Get in at 10 a.m. and do our thing for 45 minutes. And coaches beat the players in half-court shots. You know, we're killing them this year, Brady. We're killing them.
Your coaching staff's destroying the
– destroying it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Shout out to Coach Klope.
Well,
he's
yeah.
leading us with
you,
10.
You told me about his secret.
Shout out to myself being in second place with 8 on the year. Yeah.
What's the strategy there? I mean, are you just shooting like a regular shot?
Yeah, just
is
make
it a little
No, just got to make shots.
A running
shots.
Running start?
Yeah. So on the day of the game, especially on the road, we have enough time because, you know, they tell you when you're going to practice. But like on this home game, we play it too. We build it around – our meal at 10 a.m., we want a four-hour meal. So now it's at 9 a.m., give or take, is when we're on the court. Now it's like, are we doing too much in that time on the court, you're right, moving them around because it's only four-hour recovery time? That's what I'm trying to figure out with our staff and trainer, strength coach. Like, okay, what's the best way to do this? This is how we've always done it. It's always worked. It's not like this is something new. But how do we find a way for those, you know, really those four guys playing crazy minutes, right, to – peak on a Saturday. It has not been a problem on a Thursday. But on a Saturday, when you start to wear and tear, how do we get these guys right?
Wow. And I love – see, this is what – you know, I've been talking about this a lot on the show. When I watch this team 80 to 85% of the time, I just feel like, man, this Bears team is too good. I keep saying it. Too good for that record.
Yeah.
But when I hear you talk about these tiny little tweaks –
the onion.
Man,
it's
that's
– the onion. It's the margins. The margins are so thin, right? I mean, literally, we could have won all five of those games. We lost to the buzzer. And you're not going to probably win them all, but we could have, and we could be in first place right now. We're not, but we've got, again, over these next 4 weeks, it's February now, right? Big Sky's in March. We're 4 weeks away. How do we just keep, okay, now here's another issue that arose. It's whack-a-mole, right? But that's what makes it fun, too. It's like, okay, now, all right, how do we play these guys more? How do we, okay, you know, 2 minutes here, a guy like Hunter, a guy like Tanner that, you know, hey, maybe they're only playing 3-5 minutes if we're healthy. But man, I think those minutes matter. How do we find a way to just give, not really taking Quinn Danker out till about the 13-minute mark in the first half? Maybe I got to get him out a little quicker to give him a little bit more of a blow, right? Like, I don't know. So these are things we're trying to solve, and it's really gray area too. There's no obvious answers or we would be doing it.
Well, I have two questions.
Sure.
One quick one, because I want to ask about the minutes and how, because I want to know what goes through your mind on that. Quickly on I lost my train of thought on this, Coach. I want to get into the minutes thing, but also, you know, when you're looking at getting a guy in like Hunter Caldwell, you know, hey, just a couple of minutes. Well, he comes in and knocks down a three. I mean, he's got a great shot. He comes in, pops a three. But trying to find that sweet spot of how long does he go?
Yeah.
You know, do
it's
you
hard.
Give him enough time?
Those are
time?
Such hard roles too for those guys. But yeah, I mean, you know, Hunter, I think got hits in both those games. Idaho, he hit the big three before the end of the half.
Yeah, it was a great shot, too.
Yeah, and Ewash, we had foul trouble. So, like, yeah, it's like, okay, how do we just rotate this around and figure it out? It's like, but you look, everyone's going through. Weber State, Tajon Sain, who's their leading scorer, who's leading the league in scoring, he played all 40 minutes last night. You go to Portland State, Henderson, Minot, Miller. They don't take those guys out. That doesn't mean it's the right thing for us, though, right? Like, again, every player and their bodies and stuff, like, how do we find a way? We need Zach, and Zach is an awesome shooter. So I think he's one of the best in the league. And we know as a staff, he has to hit. Like, if he gets, like, 7 off, he's got to make 2 or 3 of those. And when you look at it, it's like we're also asking him to guard the best player on their team. Hey, go chase Isaiah Moses around.
Gonna wear
you
out.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
So how do we find a way to give him the best job? And these guys, like – you know, if any of the people listen, well, make the guys take ice baths. They're doing that every day. Ice baths, Normatex, all the modalities, hydration, the sleep. I mean, we spend so much time on this. What are you doing away from the gym stuff? The nutrition. They're dialed in as can be. And like going to those three guys that have been around this thing forever and ever and ever, they are so long. Hot yoga. Like these dudes, like they understand it to the highest levels. So it's not about that, but it's like, what do we got to do to reduce a little load on them? Maybe it's before the game, maybe it's during the game. Like, all these things matter.
When you're in these games, you talk about it with Quinn, like at that 13-minute mark. Is that something that you're looking up at the – is one of your coaches saying, hey, coach, we're 13, time to get – how does that – I've always wondered how that works.
If foul trouble is not – if foul trouble is an issue, throw it off. You know, you just got to rotate around. But if not, like, you know, typically it's like, all right, you know, maybe Delano goes and gets Zach, okay, gives him a blow, and then maybe Zach gives Quinn a blow. But, you know, you don't want to rotate that through too quick. And it's just kind of naturally land about the 13, 14-minute mark for Quinn because he's playing the first media and he's playing the first 2 minutes of the second media, then we get him out. So, yeah, just trying to figure out what's the best way to do it because, you know, to me too, like this is a game of flow. Subbing the sub sometimes can hurt you too. And you plan on this, but then it's like, you know, with the example of Danker, he bangs 2 threes in a row. I'm not going to take him out when he's hot. So, yeah. Like, you know, it's not to the point of like the Jokic NBA where you got to take him out at the end of the third and let him sit. It's not like that. But it's there's elements of that for sure.
It's not like a hard in your mind. I mean, because I know it's never a hard time because you can say 13 minutes, but you might not have a stoppage, whatever. And on that side, do you – now with these guys, you talk about Zach Blanc. He's going to go up against their best player. Now, that might sometimes take a different toll depending on the guy Absolutely. He's going against. If he's really quick, side to side, whatever, that might wear a dude out faster.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have guys? Because I always look for it. I know in high school it used to be raise your hand if you're exhausted, you come out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have guys that are like, hey, I know I'm supposed to come out in like 2 minutes, but man, oh, yeah. Coach, I'm gassed.
If they're tapped, they're tapped. They do it all the time. You know, Brock does a great job. Coach, I need one. Yep, cool.
And is it kind of it's a subtle thing?
Like, yeah, he just yells at me and just whatever, grab the jersey, coach, I need one. Yep.
And how long is that? Even though he's not scheduled to come out yet, but he's toast at this point, does he just take a whatever breather and then get
well,
right back
know,
in?
Well, they know. Those guys know, we'll get you back in.
Yeah.
And so, like, let's not hide fatigue because, like, oh, man, if I tell Coach I'm tired, I'll never get back in. Let's not be that guy, right? So they know they get back in. But, again, it's just kind of the flow of things. And we got Brock out. It was probably Idaho because it was about time. He asked for one, and then Egan got 2 fouls in a row. And it's like, all right, Brock, you ready? Which, you know, maybe we could have thrown Hunter in as well. But, yeah, just trying to figure all that stuff out. It's an art and a science for sure.
Everything's moving so fast, yeah. And you're paying attention to coaching. You're paying attention to what's going on out there on that floor. Have you ever had those moments? We know it's happened in the NBA where you just forget about a guy. You just don't get a guy back in when he's supposed to, and then you look down and 7 minutes have gone by, and it's like, wow, I really missed getting that guy back in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that happens. Obviously, having a great staff and those guys, too, hey, it's time to get, you know, so-and-so back in. And you know, my weird mind, that's one of the things I'm always kind of latched into where I don't just delegate that all the way, too, because I'm always thinking about it when I'm out there. Okay, it's about this time for this guy. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it does happen for sure.
What is the most difficult part of the in-game, man? I know we're kind of talking overall stuff here, but
yeah.
I think this is really interesting. The in-game coaching / managing, what is the most difficult part of that, Coach?
Deciding what sets to call on a make or don't call anything and let the guys go play on our flows or swing in place, flip in place, 50s, whatever it is. But it'd be interesting to go. I've thought about this recently is going back through games and looking at how many times per game do I actually call something out. Now, on a timeout, I'll give them the first 2 calls. That's on makes. So on a make, maybe it's our ball, so it's the first call, but I'll get, hey, I don't ask them to think more than 2 things at a time.
Okay.
You know, and for some guys, it's probably too much. You know, it might just be 1 at a time. Because, okay, I got 2 calls. Now we're in this coverage. Are we doubling the post? You know what I mean? Like, it becomes a lot. I'm guarding this guy. This guy's a sniper. Oh, no. He's a driver. So, like, we felt like after NAU and obviously a rough start to the league play, but the more you think, the slower your feet get, right? So we don't want them thinking too much. But at the same point in time, if we feel like we've got advantages, okay, we're going to hit you with this. And usually it's a counter, like it's going to be 2 things masked together in one of our families. Maybe it's away and away, or it's low and low, or it's swing and swing, or it's whatever it is, chin and chin. We want to mask things for confusion. And so that's probably the hardest thing, though, is once those kind of burn themselves out and on a make, okay, am I calling something or not? So in my mind, I got to keep thinking as it's going from one offense play down to the defense, and we've got our coverages and stuff, and, you know, pulling out the game card, okay, what's next? What am I trying to hit next based off the coverage? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the hardest thing.
I would imagine so because
it happens quick.
Well, yeah, also it's like when do you – because we see coaches, we see you do that, you know, when it's like go. We just want you to go at this stage. Go into that – guys are just,
for
what do
sure.
you call it, like free flow mode at that point where you're not calling out a set?
We just, you know, sometimes I don't say a thing, you know, and on a miss, we never say anything. On a miss, go play. So the more we get stops, the more we get to go play and transition and flow and this and that. It's great.
So what's happening in that process if you're not calling a set? Guys just know So-and-so's coming up setting a screen. How's that work?
Yeah, like they got options, and it's you know, like on a miss, like it's built off of really two things. The first thing is, as our guard, you're going to bring it down either the right side or the left side, right? You don't bring it down the middle. Like that's on a straight transition turnover, yeah, maybe. But like it's, you're either on one side of the floor or the other, right? So as you bring it down, it's like, okay, the first thing, there's two things in transition. One is the corner, the corner you're driving down the right side, is that corner filled with another player or is it empty? And some people say, we always want to fill the corners. I don't. Which whatever happens, happens. So is it filled or empty? This is the first thing. And then two, did our big win the race or lose the race? They only win the race if you're lucky 4 to 5 times a game because they're in there rebounding, gnarling around. But if they win the race, we're looking, you know, first post, trying to get it in there, or they're gonna settle in. They're not going to leave that position to go set a ball screen. Most of the time they lose the race, then it turns into like, you know, our drag ball screens and things like that. But as they drag, everyone has to know, is it empty or is it filled, right? Going back to the corner. So it starts with that stuff, and then you just kind of play out of that. And then, you know, it's – okay, all right, it's a hedge ball screen in a fill. We know if it's a hedge and a fill, we're going to empty, we're going to swivel, we're going to short roll, we're going to play out of it. If it's a fill and it's a, you know, hard hedge, then it's a fill spray. You know, so there's these little, you know, triggers, I guess, mm-hmm. that they – then after that, I just go play. But we don't call any of that. So that's stuff that's been trained in for months. We still train in that, you know, probably in 4 hours today because you start to forget it, right? So you're training that stuff in. So you have somewhat of a prescription, but you also have the flexibility to go play.
Yeah, and I love hearing that, like this kind of stuff. I kind of geeking out
yeah.
on it.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, you know, the Eastern Washington game, just to kind of wrap that one up and then look ahead here.
Yeah.
That was just one of those – I thought that was an important game.
Oh, it's critical.
The way to win it, because, you know, that's just going to happen. It's going to happen in the tournament too. You're going to do everything right to get the open yeah. shots. They're just not going to go in.
That's what we told the guys afterwards. We said, look, man, if you're going to make a run at Boise, you know, winning 3 games or 4 games or whatever our lot in life is, you're not winning those all clean. You're going to have to win one dirty and gutsy and gross, and that was a gross game. Yes, could we have knocked those shots down and created separation multiple times? Sure, but we didn't. So it's about the winning plays and about all the little things that we had to do to get that thing done. And so, yeah, it was to put a bow on that one, it was – I'm just glad we won it because, honestly, when you shoot that poorly, you usually don't win.
Yeah.
And that's a good team. And they've – you know, that recently they beat Montana. They took CU to overtime. Talented. Isaiah Moses, one of the best players in the league. Good bigs. Kyrie Huey. You know, Hamilton. Tough to play against, you know. You know, and they throw all these different defenses at you. So, yeah, I thought we did a good job of finding a way to win when the ball didn't go in. And that's a critical thing to do, to say, hey, we don't need to shoot it great to win. I think it's important.
Yeah. I both games kind of had their own
– yes.
Certainly their own identity.
For sure.
Which can be powerful lessons to learn
Definitely.
As you go here. And it's yeah. always better to learn those lessons when you're – when you're getting dubs, too,
Definitely.
Coach.
Definitely, yep.
Weber State coming up next for you guys on Thursday night, 7 o'clock at Weber State. That'll be on ESPN+. And then Saturday, as you mentioned, 4 o'clock against Idaho State, also on ESPN+. Weber State got you early in a close
yep.
game. And like you mentioned, you guys handled Idaho State the first time around.
Yeah, you know, everyone's about the same, in my opinion. You know, the records aren't quite the same, but I think everyone's pretty close to each other in terms of, you know, the way we're playing. You know, Weber State had to play last night in Sacramento, so they're traveling back today. You know, a couple of guys, like I said, played 40 minutes. You know, Assane played 40 minutes last night. You know, they good team. You know, they got an edge to them, and they did a good job of kind of stalling us out offensively last game. They, you know, switched everything, switched ball screens, off ball screens. We didn't do a good job attacking it. I think, you know, starting with preparing yesterday a little bit, and then today's Tuesday, and then tomorrow, I feel like we're going to be in a good spot preparation-wise. But really, it's just mentality. Like, we've got to go in to both these games on the road and say, look, we got to get this done. And I feel great about it. I know our guys are in a good spot mentally, but with Weber, you got to eliminate, you know, sniper threes. Vartianen, I mean, he hit a couple on some scout mistakes last time. They were tough shots, but we blew some coverages. Cannot blow those coverages. Sane is a lot like Isaiah Moses, where smaller guard, not going to post you up, but what he's going to do is he's going to drive, he's going to create contact and find a way to get to the free throw line. We have to do a good job like we did against Eastern Washington, not allowing him to get 10, 12 free throws in the game. And then two bigs, you know, and I say this in a straight complimentary way, junkyard dogs, you know, with Suarez and Gama and Burse as well. that it might not always be pretty around the rim, but those dudes are tipping the ball, crashing, rebounding, and you got to exceed their effort on the glass. You got to get rebounds. It's got to be a one and done game, and we did not do a good job of that in the last game. Those guys had like 15 rebounds, so you know. Rebounding, and then the other thing too is they play really fast, fastest pace in the league. So we got to get back in transition, build walls, things like that. But now, and we've already played Montana State twice, but outside of that, this is the second half of the league. Like these, every game left, all these 8 games is a round 2 game, and it's fun. Now, can you make little adjustments? Can they make little adjustments? What worked in the last game? What didn't? You know, and going back to the films of our game and their most recent games, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great opportunity for us. And then you play the Weber State game, and you stay in that hotel in Utah. Thursday night, and then drive north, a couple mountain passes, beautiful drive up to Pocatello, Idaho, Friday. You know, have a Friday night practice and play Idaho State on Saturday. Always a tough place to play as well. So, yeah, it's a critical week, you know, and if we can get some things done here, we could really be in a good spot. We're starting to rise up a little bit. You know, I mean, we've moved up 2 spots since we talked last week, and there's a lot of opportunity to move up more if we can play well.
Yeah, with Weber State sitting at 5-5, you guys at 3-7 in the conference, it's a huge one.
Huge.
Thursday, because now it's, you know, you're just looking at that minimum goal right now is avoid that bottom four, and that is certainly within reach when you have – you know, a couple teams with 5 losses there, but even Idaho with that 4th loss, which you guys delivered one of those. So still very much there.
Yeah, there's really 3 teams, Portland State, Montana State, that have separated out, right, 7-3s. Everyone else, everything else is on the table right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we get hot here. If we get really hot, we can even, you know, crawl up into that range. But in terms of like that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yeah, like absolutely. But we got to win games.
Yeah.
You know, if we get hot here and keep playing well, win a couple games, we can get like deep in that mix quickly here.
Oh, I'm excited. I loved the games last week, Coach. It's going to be a fun end of the week here to see how you guys fare on the road and just keep it rolling, man. Just
all
keep
we can
it
do.
Going. It's a lot of fun to
That's
watch.
Right. Guys are excited. They're in a good spot. You know, and we just got to find a way to keep playing the best we can to get to the best seating we can in Topeka in March. But it is February now.
It's crazy.
So we're down to the final month.
Down under 10 games to go,
That's
8
right.
games to go for you guys before we get into that Big Sky Conference tournament. Coach, always appreciate it, man.
Yep.
I had to nerd out with you a little bit.
I loved it.
You're painting the picture so beautifully, and then my mind's kind of catching this certain thing, certain aspects of the game, and then how you're coaching it. That's the deep stuff that I like to get into, man.
That's right. That is the two-man game.
That's the fun part of it. All right, Coach. Appreciate you, man.
Good.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
The Two-Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy Ryan Hicks and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!